It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland and the Sound Mind broadcast, another interesting discussion with Daniel Pryor. How you doing there, Daniel?
I'm doing fine, Mark. How are you?
Really good. We've both been having fun this summer. But boy, it's sure been hot this summer.
We're getting
summer.
Air conditioning finally.
Yeah. I think
a little late in the year.
Everybody's finally getting some air conditioning in the Northwest. Hey, this week, talking about a hotly debated subject, and that has to do with addiction. We hear about addiction all the time, and more things are being added to the list of addiction. But this was kind of being discounted recently by an article you read. You wanted to kind of get into that this week.
Yes, in my email, I get from time to time, I get updates from Psychology Today. Now, Psychology Today is a little bit of a misnomer because if there's any real important psychology in there, it's probably 10 years old.
Okay.
And so it's pretty much, if you go into a counselor's office and you see Psychology Today laying there, it's to impress you because I don't know. I suppose people read these articles, but I have never found them to be, helpful or profound. And this one particularly got my ire up, and I actually responded, gave this guy a letter to the editor to this man that wrote it.
Okay, well, what got you so upset?
Oh boy. Well, so this is an article written by a man by the name of David Lay, and he says that pornography is not addiction. And then he goes into kind of like giving prudish people a bad time. We're prudes if we think of pornography as addiction because it's just, he says, not addiction, it's just higher libido. And so I found it very confusing for people who would read that article and come away thinking, well, I guess I don't have a problem after all. I just have high libido. And I hear this a lot in counseling and marriage counseling where, say, for example, a man will have a pornography problem and his wife will say something along the lines of, I know men have to do this. And so articles like this just throw fuel on that fire and people come away thinking, yeah. And you know, all this really is the secular working so hard to justify immorality. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty obviously what they're doing. But no, he says it's not an addiction. It's higher libido. Now, why does he say that? Well, he kind of cherry picks a quote from an opinion that he opposes that was written. He says, Lay says that sex addiction proponents, and I have a large font here, have long argued. He doesn't substantiate that. He just says have long argued. That's an easy one to throw out there, I suppose. That pornography is like cocaine. So he uses that quote, like cocaine. I imagine what they probably said is thing that I've heard other people say, that it works like a drug. Pornography works like a drug, or any addiction works like a drug.
Yeah, I've seen studies about that and also brain chemistry and brain maps and stuff that show very definite effects of that on the brain. He's saying that that's all a bunch of trumped up charges?
Yeah, he's saying that that's not true, but again, it's the cherry picking. He says that it's not like cocaine because cocaine would show different brain patterns and specific electrical charges. So, okay, he got us there. It's not like cocaine in the literal sense. And, of course, any time you put a substance in your body's going to respond neurologically differently to a foreign substance than it is to its own chemicals. And when we're talking about an addictive behavior, the addiction is in terms of chemistry that the body creates itself, substances that the body has itself. So when you're inducing a chemical, of course you're going to get a different electrical pattern and different electrical charges. So addiction, though, is not only a chemical pattern, it's a behavioral pattern. That should be I think that anybody with a pulse can recognize that you have addictions that are strictly behavior. So, you know, what do you mean by it? What do we mean by addiction? It's got both of those. It's got a chemical pattern. It's a chemical pattern, but it's also a behavior mm-hmm. pattern.
Well, the whole area of calling certain behaviors addictions does seem to be a more recent development in psychological circles mm-hmm. and things. I mean, alcohol and drugs and, like you're saying, the outside substances, mm-hmm. they seem to have accepted that a long time ago. But behaviors as addictions does seem to be a relatively new classification.
Yeah, and now he's going back the other direction again.
But you would subscribe that behaviors are addictions.
Well, yeah, I think he's just arguing over semantics. He's mm-hmm. he's redefined the term so he could write the article. But it's an article that doesn't mean anything, because we're going to use the term addiction out in the real world to represent a behavior or something that you can't change. And I mean, you try to change it, you have withdrawal symptoms mm-hmm. like anxiety mm-hmm. and things like that. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be our practical, that's what we mean by addiction. And yeah, the reason that that the field has gotten larger and that it's not just chemical addiction or alcohol addiction is because we've recognized that these behaviors can have just as much of a hold mm-hmm. over a person's mm-hmm. life. And mm-hmm. if you try to do without them, mm-hmm. Your body's going to fight it just mm-hmm. as it would with its other. So mm-hmm. That's why they're called addictions. Mm-hmm. It's because of the way they trap you in this behavior. Mm-hmm. The behavior becomes a repetitive pattern that you mm-hmm. can't break. Mm-hmm. It wasn't because it has the same chemical properties and that your brain responds to it chemically the same. So again, it was an article that didn't need to be written, and it was a difference that doesn't make a difference. And if we followed his, even cocaine addiction has a behavioral side, and addicts have to work against to redirect recurrent thoughts of cocaine or alcohol or whatever.
Sure.
When they see a bottle of alcohol sitting there, or an opportunity to get a substance that they've been addicted to, they still have to fight against that. And now they're dealing very much with addiction in the same way that we're talking about a person who has addiction not to a substance, but it's mm-hmm, a behavioral
sure.
disturbance.
Mm-hmm.
So if we followed his lead, then nothing apart from the actual addictive substance could be addictive. No gambling addiction, no thought addiction, no social media, no hoarding, especially not sex. And so I wonder what term he would use to refer to all these behaviors that kind of get a grip on your life and won't let you go. So regardless of what he wants to call them, we treat them as addictions. We know what we mean by addiction. We mean that this thing is and I think anybody that's been trapped in an addictive behavior, such as gambling, pornography, even as we've spoken in some shows just recently, the use of social media and smartphones and all those things. Anybody that's been caught in that recognizes that it may start small, but it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And first thing you know, it's a major part of your life. And you can't quit. You mm-hmm. try to quit. It mm-hmm. pulls you right back in. And that's what we mean when we say, when we now use the term addiction. And part of it is chemistry in the brain.
Do you think using the term addiction, that seems to imply a sickness or a disorder as opposed to mm-hmm. a sin that needs to be repented of? And this is where Christians a lot of times have, I think, problems with everybody calling a bad behavior an addiction. It seems to remove, I'm sick. So,
you're right. Yeah.
So, do you bridge that gap?
Yeah. Well, that is
because you are the Bible-based counselor.
Yeah. And that is that certainly is the direction that the secular world wants to go, and secular.
That it's not a sin. It's not a moral failing. It's a sickness.
That it's a disease. It's a disease.
Uh-huh. Can it be both?
Yes. Now we have to split, the term of sickness. But I think that it can be changed, can be changed, and therefore it should be changed. So whether it's an addiction to a drug or you know, substance that you're inducing or addiction to a behavior, we can change the chemistry in our brain. And we just spoke about that a little bit last on our last show, and we have in a couple of shows previous to that. We can change the chemistry in our brain. It's a discipline that we have to go through, and it can be done. So, again, the struggle for people who have they have the inability to halt an undesirable behavior. Excuse me. And that's what we're. That's what we mean when we say addiction. It does involve a brain pattern. It does involve a brain default. That's why it's repetitive, and usually a behavioral component. And these are particularly associated together. This the behavior and the brain default, or the chemistry, so that one can drive the other. Either one can be the cause.
Mm-hmm. So this behavior does, repetitive behavior over time does change chemistry.
Yeah. It changes chemistry, and as we spoke in our previous show, it can change the shape of your brain, because you begin to rely on this thing rather than to rely on the resourcefulness that you have within you, you know, as a human being. You know, we can be very resourceful. We use a lot of these behaviors come in at times when we're bored, when our life is either not purposeful, not directed, and so we allow ourselves to get pulled into these things, and then they become the place we go in lieu of something objective in life. Yeah,
interesting discussion this week. Can behaviors be addictions? Daniel definitely thinks they can be, but they can be addressed. They can be changed. You can change the course of your life. You don't have to be a slave to an addiction. We're going to discuss that in the second part of our show here in just a moment, some of the ways to do that. People are struggling with addiction. You work a lot with men and men's issues, things people are struggling with in their marriage. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. People email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Offices in Kirkland and Edmonds.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, the Sound Mind broadcast this week, Daniel's looking at the subject of addiction and particularly behavioral kinds of addiction. We all agree that alcohol and substance abuse is a real problem, and no one would argue with that. But there's a lot of discussion about behaviors. Are they or are they not addictions? And Daniel does believe they are, and they can be addressed. A lot of times the same way you do with substance addictions, too, same kind of procedures.
Yeah, you with the substance, you obviously have to get rid of the substance, and then you're dealing with the same kind of addiction that you would. Yeah, and the reason, again, that I insist that they're addiction is because they trap you in life. So unless, till somebody comes up with another term, a better term that represents the way that they trap you in life, and that they have withdrawal symptoms when you stop, then I don't think just arguing over the semantics of it, it is worthwhile. People are going to call it an addiction because of the way that it behaves and the way that it traps you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible says, doesn't call it an addiction, it calls it the sin that so easily besets me.
Mm-hmm.
So laying aside the sin that so easily besets you. Well, laying aside, maybe I wouldn't use the words laying aside. I mean, there's a little, it's not that we just don't lay it down, we're through with it, because it easily besets us. So, I'm sure that Paul understood that, when he talked about laying aside the sin that so easily besets us, there's an effort involved. And so recovery from addiction, there are three basic, things that I've got here. Fundamentally, you're working an addiction cycle backwards, and this is
Now, what do you mean by
true
that?
Of anything? Well, a simple addiction cycle would start, if you can imagine, a circle with four points around it. So the starting point would be, I would say, anxiety, depression, the things that go with that. The inbox, as we again have talked about a couple times. So that would generate anxiety, depression. It would generate boredom, would be the second stop. So from anxiety, depression to boredom. And then at boredom, I would fantasize on something to rid me of the sense of boredom. Mm-hmm. And so I'd say, I can't think of any. And then I would say, oh, yes, I can think of something. So it might be alcohol, or it might be gambling, or whatever your addiction is. Mm-hmm. I got to check my email again for the third time in 5 minutes, or right, something like that. And so that's my fantasy. Now, if I act out on the fantasy, that's the fourth stop. So acting out on the fantasy only increases the anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. And so now that's why they call it a cycle of addiction. And as the cycle goes around and around, it gets more empowered. So working the cycle backwards would mean I have to cut off the avenues of the activity. So if it's a smartphone, I have to give the smartphone to my parents or mm-hmm. somebody that's responsible.
Or obviously back to alcohol, I need to have no alcohol.
No alcohol in the home.
I need to not go
right.
places where there's alcohol.
Right. And sometimes I have to change my friends mm-hmm. and my social environment mm-hmm. because that's they're associated. So I cut off that, and then I'm stuck back at the fantasy. If I never act out on the fantasy, then the fantasy begins to blur from technicolor to black and white and gets grainy, and then I'm stuck at boredom and I'm panicking there. So I'm going to either find another fantasy, or if I continue to work the cycle backwards, I go back to where the anxiety is being generated. Mm-hmm. And again, I look at my inbox. So,
and then they do some little more difficult work. Mm-hmm. Well, what are the emotions driving this?
Yeah.
And deal with those unresolved issues. This is where restitution comes in, different kinds mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. work in that way.
Yeah. Speaking of restitution and some of those, some of the 12-step, addictions are rooted in fear and shame, and so that's where our anxiety and depression comes from. So we have tools to address fear and shame, and we use those tools. And so shame, of course, is an internalized message of lack of worth. Fear has to do with value, control, and power. And the 12-step programs address those in a number of different ways. That's fundamentally what they're doing. Third thing I've got down here is that addictions are also tied to personality. And you probably won't find these three online because I've coined these myself. But personalities are defense mechanisms, and personality disorders or disordered personality is a personality that is entirely a defense mechanism, and I can't get away from that. And so the way that we heal personality, the way that we order our personality, has to do with engaging with other persons and relationship with other persons, because personality is really a marker for how I relate to other persons. A disordered personality means I don't relate to other persons, and so
you got to change that.
And so that has a lot to do with reversing addiction too, is being involved in relationships. I've often said our addiction is the opposite of relationship. So basically, you're pursuing two things: you're pursuing industry responsibility and relationship. And I talk a lot about how those answer the questions of value, control, and power and shame. But that's all part. I've put it rather simply here, and there's work to be done. And when I'm working with someone in addictions, I teach tools that reinforce these things that I've talked about here. And then the work begins. You really just have to do it.
I think this is where people get hung up, is because even this is simple, but it's not easy.
It's not easy.
Not mm-hmm. easy. It's That's easy right. to get into addiction. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's easy to spend about mm-hmm. a bunch of money on a credit card. It's very difficult mm-hmm. to pay it back.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. that's what people get in this cycle. It's yeah. because you're right. This is hard work.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, you have to work your program, mm-hmm. and gradually, as we've spoken before, you have to reshape your chemical and mental defaults, your brain and your mental defaults and emotional defaults. You know, the human experience, you're talking about how hard it is to to kind of recover from these things. The human experience by nature is disappointing. We have to redefine satisfaction when we're turning our back on addiction. And when I say turning my back on addiction, it reminds me of a thought that's come to my mind a lot. We struggle, a lot of our struggle in life is because we can't say no to ourselves. And a large part of discipline is learning to say no to yourself.
Dying to self.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pick up your cross and follow me.
Yeah, pick up your cross and follow me. Denying yourself is fundamental to saying yes to God. But this idea of disappointing, I wanted to explain that a bit because I don't want people going away sad or discouraged. There's a song written by Phil Keaggy, guitarist, and he's actually it's his music track at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, you're a Keaggy fan.
That's right. And his song he wrote early in his Christian music career, the name of the song was Disappointment.
I remember that.
You remember that one, yes. Mm-hmm. Disappointment, his appointment, change one letter, and I see that the thwarting of my purpose is God's better choice for me. So when I say that life is by nature disappointing, it's because the process of life is one of getting us away from our appointment to his appointment.
Mm.
And so it's often a disappointment. So I encourage people to be disenchanted and be disillusioned. I should explain those two.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Yeah. Enchantment and illusionment are not good things. And I heard a man by the name of, Will Williamson, a New York evangelist from some years back, young guy who started a church in a rough part of town. And he went around lecturing or preaching. And he said he would often have people come up after he talked and they would say, you know, I feel God's calling me to come out there and help you at your ministry there. And he said, but they would never show up. And he said, I got disillusioned, but I don't get disillusioned anymore because I don't get illusioned.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of our illusion and our enchantment with life drives us to sometimes addictions, and then the addictions become part of that enchantment or that illusion.
Are you saying then just be cynical and don't be idealistic?
No, I mean be realistic.
Be realistic.
Be realistic.
There you go.
Yeah. Even the promotion of depression medications, as I think I did a show sometime back where this all started back in the late 70s with the and early 80s with the discovery of a serotonin reuptake inhibitor called LSD. Mm-hmm. And once that once they legitimized LSD and got things going like Prozac and that, the doctrine became you should never have a down moment. If you're having a down moment, you have a disease and you need a pill. Mm. And so we need to be disenchanted and disillusioned. We need to stop thinking that life is just one party after another. It's work, and we sometimes have to look for the purpose in life. So I say, be disenchanted, be disillusioned. That's okay. We want to be real. Learn to be purposeful. What is life's purpose? This is a big part of getting away from addictions. Is learning to be purposeful in life, finding life's purpose. Be mindful. Are you using your time and resources? Using your time and resources for something higher than yourself? Are you using your time and resources for God? And be content. What were you promised? What were we promised? What were we entitled to? Having a merry heart is a discipline.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is an interesting discussion this week on behavior and addiction. There's ways out. We want to be disillusioned. We want to be disenchanted. We don't want to be enchanted. Life is difficult. It is work. And that's what Daniel does focus on. So much of your life coaching, I think, deals with this too. Teaching discipline. And he would really like to help you if you're struggling with an addictive behavior in particular. I think Daniel would love to show you some tools, give you some tools to get through this. Or maybe you know somebody in your family who's struggling. Daniel would love to help. If people need help, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 778-6169, and offices Kirkland and Edmonds. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
And lots of podcasts of previous broadcasts. They're dealing with all kinds of subjects at BibleBasedCounselor.com. Always great stuff. The Sound Mind broadcast with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.